is Friday, May the 3rd in 2024. So we welcome you to our Chapter 49 podcast. My name, of course, is Larry Lannon, a communications volunteer with Chapter 49 and, of course, a retiree. Chapter 49 represents most IRS employees in the state of Indiana. Just a quick note before we start, there will be no Chapter 49 podcast next week, but we fully expect to be back in about 2 weeks. And we once again welcome our chapter president, Duncan Giles.
Thanks, Larry. It's always good to be here.
So I want to start off, we have a lot of serious things to talk about, but I thought we'd start off with something people might enjoy. People, most people who watch any television at all know who Jerry Seinfeld is. He pitched his TV series to network executives, and when he did that, they looked at him as they had the meeting and said, all right, Mr. Seinfeld, what is this sitcom about? He looked him in the eye and said, nothing. They looked at each other and said, wait, you want us to spend millions of dollars developing a sitcom about nothing? Well, long story short, finally Seinfeld did convince the executives to give it a try, and people know the story now. It's one of the most successful situation comedies in the history of television. The reruns are still getting good ratings today. Well, Seinfeld is at it again. He has a movie that's, I don't know if it's started or soon to start on Netflix. The name of the movie is Unfrosted. Do you know what this is about?
Have not heard, no.
It's about the development and creation of Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
Think about that for a minute. Seinfeld went from a sitcom about nothing to a movie about the invention of Pop-Tarts. Now, I guess there is a backstory. And, of course, it's a comedy, as you might imagine. Although there is some kind of actual relationship to the story of the creation of Pop-Tarts. So, I don't know. I'm going to watch this movie and keep an open mind about it. I don't know whether Mr. Seinfeld generally does things well. We'll see if he gets away with it this time. Let's get serious now, because we do have something very serious to talk about. And this has to do with the commissioner, Danny Werfel, of the Internal Revenue Service. He recently, just within a day or two of the recording of this podcast, met with some reporters who cover federal employment issues in the IRS and had some interesting comments to make. He was sort of talking about changes to the long-term plans that the service would have. But he said something surprising, because as we've talked about a lot, there is Inflation Reduction Act money. It was $80 billion to begin with. It was reduced to $60 billion to try to reach a compromise on the debt ceiling. So $20 billion of IRS funding was sacrificed to that. But even with that $60 billion to increase to a better technology, increase staff, and just update the IRS in general, Commissioner Werfel told these reporters that as early as 2026, the service could be laying off personnel after this big hiring surge. They would start with buyouts and incentives, then go to furloughs. You and I have both been through furloughs before working for IRS. Of course, a last resort would be a reduction in force. So you read the news story based on that conversation that Commissioner Werfel had with those news reporters. So what did you glean from that?
Yeah, basically, this is just a reinforcement of what we've all been saying, is that the IRS needs to be properly funded. If the IRS isn't funded, the IRA funds are great, but once those end, and once we don't have appropriate funding, we're going to be looking at a fiscal cliff. And we're not going to be able to not only, keep up hiring, but we're going to have to reduce staff. And none of us want to do that. I think it's in everyone's best interest. And when I say everyone, I'm talking about employees, management, the federal government, the American taxpayer. Because as the commissioner reiterated, we're not looking to go after folks who are making less than $400,000. We're looking to go after those folks where there's, actual meat on the bone, where folks either inadvertently or advertently have decided to mess around with their taxes somewhat. And, you know, everybody needs to pay the proper amount of taxes. And so that's what the commissioner is trying to do, is make sure that we have the staff and the technology to be able to do that. And to continue to do that, we're going to continue to need money coming in, which will be, you know, we at a conservative estimate, and this is what he quoted in the article, for every dollar spent for the IRS, you'll get back three. And that's a very conservative estimate in my, just in my experience, because I think it's been much higher than that in the past. So this is a good investment, but because of the political parties, games, for lack of a better term, I wish I was sitting there thinking, trying to come up with a better term, but it's that, they want to try and eliminate the funding for us, and that's just going to have dire consequences for everyone.
You know, when I read that article, I had two thoughts. First thought was this, you know, does the public want to be able to call the IRS and get somebody on the phone, number one, which we are now doing. Had not been able to do that for many years. Now, all of a sudden, the staffing is there, the support is there, and the phones are being answered. That's number one. Number two, do you want to be able to walk into a taxpayer assistance center and receive help there? Again, funding will determine that. The Taxpayer Advocate Service, will they be able to serve people who fall through the cracks? And, you know, the less funding IRS has, the more people fall within the cracks of the system. And the caseworker is a taxpayer advocate. You know, again, we don't have enough of those to get the work done. But on the other hand, the second thought I had, Duncan, and I hate to say this, but there are people with a lot of money who make more than $400,000 a year who really do not see it in their interest to have effective IRS tax law enforcement. And sadly, some of those people, tend to contribute to political campaigns. Just an observation that people need to keep in mind. So, I think NTEU is one of the organizations and people, and we as a people, as a membership, and as an organization, want to have a tax administration agency that has adequate funding. And we've been so underfunded for so many years. That's why the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, provided those funds, because those funds were going to, in turn, bring more money into the government. So it's going to be a tough fight as the years go by. You know, elections matter. I'm not going to talk about politics here, but election results do matter and make a difference as to how these kinds of issues are handled. So any final thoughts on the commissioner basically saying that if the Congress doesn't provide the basic year-to-year funding, that 2026 could be a year where we start losing staff?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where when you've got both the IRS and NTU in lockstep, both saying the same thing, you know, I would think you'd want to step back and listen. As you said, there are going to be certain parties, certain politicians that don't want to hear this because it's in their interests to not have a robust IRS that's doing its job to make sure that every American is paying their fair share of taxes, especially those who are in the much higher tax brackets than either you or I are in. But it's one of those things where we need to do this. We need to be properly funded. This is not anything new to anybody that's ever listened or viewed this podcast. And it's something that has to be done for the good of the American people. You want to help reduce the deficit? Make sure the IRS is properly funded. You want to make sure that, you know, government programs that are done that are beneficial to all Americans, either directly or indirectly, you fund the IRS. It's one of those, it's a very simple truth that we need to all get behind, or if we have the alternative, as Commissioner Werfel outlines, then it's going to be going back to what we had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And one last thing, you know, when Commissioner Werfel was appointed to his position, you know, he's not a tax guy. You know, he's not somebody who's been a tax attorney and really in that realm. You know, he's worked in government. He's worked in private business. He knows how both should work. He knows how it should be organized. He knows what needs to be done. He's not looking at fluff or frills or anything like that. He's trying to lay out the case for what needs to happen. And so if you can't listen to someone who, to me, is a very fair person on this, then I don't know. You know, you've got to question people who don't want this, their motives, in my mind.
Well, you make a very interesting point, because for many years, many, many years, really from the start of the reorganized IRS in the early 50s, it was the first big reorganization of IRS happened then under the Truman administration. And at that time, the people who were appointed as IRS commissioners tended to be tax attorneys, well-known CPAs or tax experts, and they were the commissioners until President Bill Clinton brought in Charles Rosati. And Charles Rosati was, again, a man who had run large operations and knew technology. And he did update our technology tremendously. If we hadn't had him as a commissioner at that time, I don't know where IRS would be now with its technology. I mean, it's not where it needs to be.
Yep.
We made great strides under Rosati. The great story I remember hearing when Charles Rosati was confirmed as a commissioner, he walked into his office, and the first thing he asked, I'd like to send an email out to all employees. And his staff laughed at him. He goes, what are you laughing about? He goes, well, we have, what, six regions? Every region has a different email system. We have no way of sending out a national email. And he says, oh, that's going to change. And, of course, it did. But so we don't always have to have tax experts. We can have somebody who understands management, understands agencies. Commissioner Werfel does understand that. That's a strong point. And I want to bring in, with that thought, the commissioner has been a very busy man. He's not only talking to the media about these funding issues, but he met with NTU chapter presidents recently. I know you couldn't make the meeting, but you did listen in audio-wise. It's good to know that the commissioner wants NTEU's views and input as big decisions are made. So tell me what you took away from what you heard about, or listened to and heard about from that recent meeting that the commissioner had in Atlanta with NTEU chapter presidents.
Yeah, this was a great opportunity, and I absolutely tip my hat to the commissioner for not only coming, but also bringing a lot of his senior staff. The head of taxpayer services, as it's now called, SBSC was there. The facilities was there. HCO had a huge bunch of folks that they brought down to Atlanta to hear directly from NTU chapter presidents on what the issues are. And I found that in my limited dealings with him, but also from stories I've heard from basically everybody from former national president Tony Reardon, current president Doreen Greenwald, and everybody in between, as well as numerous IRS executives, is that he wants to hear what's going on. All too often, we've had commissioners that would, I'll have a meeting with you and I'll listen. And basically, what they wanted to do was just give their boilerplate language. Okay, I've taken a meeting with NTU. Commissioner Werfel's put his money where his mouth is, literally, because there were quite a bit in attendance down in Atlanta. And thanks to the Atlanta local chapters for taking care of the chapter presidents down there. They did a great job from everything I've heard. But there was some robust discussion, especially with different business units, about issues that chapter presidents were having. And those are the types of things that need to happen, that we need to have this open dialogue. And I give a lot of credit for Doreen Greenwald, who was right there with the commissioner, making sure that he understood where everybody was coming from. This is a huge thing to have a commissioner actually listening to the employee's representative to, take in what's going on. He really does care about what the employees think, about what the employees are dealing with. I know a lot of times people don't think that, and I think a lot of times the message gets diluted as it goes down through the chain. But I do think Commissioner Werfel is wants to listen, wants to hear what's going on. And I go back to a Charles Rosati quote that I use often since we mentioned Commissioner Rosati just a few minutes ago. I'd rather be roughly right than precisely wrong. I love that quote because I try and operate with that. Let's go outside the guidelines. Let's try a little bit something different. It may not be perfect, but let's do that. And I believe that Commissioner Werfel, in his own way, is doing that, trying different things, not just with relationship with NTU, but also, you know, how to help the American taxpayers, how to help, you know, groups that are out there, taxpayer groups that are out there. So, he's trying different things to improve everything. And I think that's I give him huge kudos for that. And I hope that he continues to go on that path and we see as many actions as we're seeing in the words.
Well, Duncan, you and I have both experienced over the many years we've been with the service, many different IRS commissioners come and go. And we've had some that have really reached out to employees, reached out to NTEU, interested in knowing what's happening at the ground level. Others were not, just to be blunt about it, and basically listened to what their own staff was saying. And that does tend to be a diluted or filtered message if you're getting it up from the bottom of management. I have to say, the with some exceptions, most frontline managers, of which I was one, tried very hard to explain what was going on at the ground level. Sometimes it got through to the top. Often it did not. Where you go to the employees also, if the employees and the managers at the ground level are saying the same thing, that should be a powerful message to those in at 1111 Constitution Avenue in Washington, you would think. But it is good to see a commissioner that that does listen and care about the employee input, which can be very articulated well from the our people on the ground level at the chapter level. And of course, Duncan, not to beat a dead horse here, invitation is still open. The commissioner is welcome to come on here. We would love to talk to him. We think that he's doing a lot of good things, and we would like to give him a chance to directly talk to people with NTEU. So,
I bet he'd like to do that, except he's probably have to, he'd have staff trying to tackle him before they get on.
Oh, so you're saying those same people that filtered the message are telling him not to come on the podcast?
I would guess so. Yeah, and you deal with different commissioners, you have to be upfront with them. I remember I was working on a team, a national team, on a specific project, and we were broken down into a sub-team of about 12 people, and the commissioner walks in on our sub-team. And, everybody is sort of looking at him and, oh, wow, the commissioner's sitting here. And he plops down right next to me. And he looks over at me and he goes, because he and I had had some interactions over the couple of years. And he goes, "So, Duncan, how's it going?" And I looked at him, used his first name, and I said, "Well, it's going like crap. And let me tell you why it's going like crap." And the rest of the people, including some IRS folks who are now pretty high up, we're just looking aghast that somebody was actually, telling a commissioner exactly what was going on. And that's what I appreciate about somebody like a Danny Werfel who, takes the whole room of that and brings the people that need to hear it with him.
Well, and I do think that we need to give credit where credit is due. Now, it's not that we agree on everything with him, but we agree on quite a bit. And and I think it's really important that we have the same approach to government service. And all of us who are NTU members, all the people who work at IRS, it's been my experience and yours, everybody, with always a few exceptions here and there, are in this to serve the public or to do the compliance work and to do it right. And, we're glad the commissioner is on board with that general idea. So moving on, IRS is going to do something. And I must say, I started with the IRS in 1983. And I've told the story before, but I'll say it again here because it does apply. A few years after I joined the service, they started the Employee Assistance Program, brought in, you know, this contract and a phone number to call. And they thought, well, we might have a few people who need help. Oh, dear. It was way more than a few people. I think of everything I heard, and I wasn't a NTU official or a manager high up. I was just hearing the scuttlebutt that everybody hears all throughout the agency, that once the people at headquarters of IRS got wind of the numbers of people, the statistics of how many were using this employee assistance program, they were shocked. You know, people out there needed help, and mental health was a part of that employee assistance program. It was a very key part of that, which is still around today. Well, May is Mental Health Month, and to think that sometime, and I would, in my lifetime, I would ever see the IRS hold mental health workshops. I never thought I'd see the day. But Duncan, the day has come.
Yep, absolutely. And this is another initiative, I think, from Commissioner Werfel on Downward with his folks, as well as something that has been heartily pushed and endorsed by NTU National President Doreen Greenwald. Absolutely. To, you know, we all know that there are stressors, not just in work, but in life in general. And for the IRS to want to, you know, say, hey, okay, we're going to have these workshops to talk about some of these things. Some of these things may be able to help you. It's not a replacement for EAP, the Employee Assistance Program. And, you know, as the father of a, you know, mental health professional, I strongly urge anybody who has issues or just needs somebody to talk to reach out and use the EAP, because I think it's a wonderful, wonderful tool to help people out there. But these workshops, you know, anything that can be done to try and assist folks to make their lives a little bit less stressful is just an awesome thing. Now, you know, will you be able to get time for it? They, you know, the wording on that is, well, you'll be able to talk to your manager and see if they'll be able to give you admin time on a case-by-case basis. So to me, that means it might be tough. But a lot of these are going to be recorded. A lot of these are going to be done perhaps before or after your shifts. So you may want to look into this just as something that might be able to help you. Because, like I say, it's not just, you know, you've got home life, you've got work, you've got family. There's all sorts of stressors in life out there. And anything that can be done to help that is just a great thing. And again, I tip my hat off to the commissioner, his staff, and Doreen for pushing it to be able to do something like this during a mental health month.
But you know, Duncan, it is a message, and you brought this up, and I think it's a good point. It is a strong message from the management as to whether or not you get official time on the clock to go do these things. And when it's murky, well, we will if we can give you the time. That's I'm a little concerned. I mean, it's great the service is doing this, but that's the only little bit of it that concerns me.
Yeah, it was when I saw that, I was disappointed. And I'm very hopeful that the message that is being pressed by National President Greenwald to Commissioner Werfel, and that hopefully he presses down, is, you know, if we can't give folks an hour or two to be able to do these workshops, do we really back mental health? Is this really something serious? Or are we just giving it lip service? That's, I think, is a key point as well. So I'm really hopeful that the majority will be able to get administrative time. Now, if there are certain circumstances that you're up against certain deadlines or things of that nature, okay, you can't do it right now, but we'll give you time next week to listen to it recorded. You know, I understand that. But for the majority of the people, let's give them a little bit of time to be able to do this, to try and help them, because the better everybody's mental health is, the more people will want to stay, reduce unscheduled leave, reduce FMLA. It all plays in together. It's great for retention. So I'm really hoping that they take this seriously and use it as it is intended.
Let's turn to surveys. Now, we at IRS have done surveys for years. Sometimes NTU's on board. sometimes NTU is not on board. We have quite a history with surveys put on by the management. There is a survey, FEVS, some people call it the FEVS, survey coming up. Tell us who does the survey, how the results are used, and NTU's view on whether employees should take this survey.
This one is an interesting one for me because I've been involved in employee engagement now for so many years. You know, at first I was like everybody else. Oh no, taking the FEVS doesn't matter. And that's Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, for those that don't know. And this is put on not by the IRS. We're allowed to add in some other questions, but this goes out and is used by most government agencies. It is looked at. Everybody, thinks, well, nothing, I can't see any tangible benefits from it. So it is looked at. These results, I can guarantee you, at the highest levels are looked at every year. And they do things to try and tackle the highest questions that get possible marks that people aren't satisfied. Now, a lot of those are the same things every year. And that is one part that frustrates me. And that's, training is always going to be a high one because people never feel that they get enough training or the training that the IRS does is adequate. And I'm sorry for those of you in high levels that may be watching or listening to this that are in IRS training, but they're right. The training in so many things that we do is rushed, is not employee friendly. It's I don't know who it's geared to, but it's not geared to the people that are actually being taught. And so that needs to be worked on. But it gives everybody an idea. Now, my issues with FEVS are twofold. One is non-specific to this year and one specific to this year. My non-specific is that we in the past have done pulse surveys. The IRS has done pulse surveys over the past several years. We haven't done any in the last couple. And to me, that is a much greater indicator of where employees' heads are at. The FEVS is a lot of questions. You take it one day, and it's in there, and they react for it for the rest of the year. A pulse survey is a shorter set of questions that will go out for a finite amount of time. Once a week for maybe 4 to 6 weeks. That way you can get a baseline. You can tell where it's high or low because FEVS answers are going to depend on the day of the week, how you're feeling that particular day. If you've had an awful day, you may want to, you're going to put down stuff that's not. If you've just received a career ladder, you're going to be in a great mood. Now, everything's wonderful. My other part that's happening this year that I've heard that's greatly disturbed me is that I've heard from numerous sources that it's almost like they're trying to see how high the upper levels of the organization are trying to, it's almost like a game to see how high their division can get in participation rate. We want to make sure, well, I want to have it higher than yours. Well, I want to have it, mine's is going to be higher than yours. They're playing a freaking game with this, and I think that's absolutely insane. This should be looked at very seriously. And the thing is, if you have a lower participation rate, that tells you an awful lot as well. That tells you you've got a lot of folks who have said, hey, I would love to believe in the survey. I've been here a while. I haven't seen results. I'm not going to take it because it doesn't matter. And that's a terrible thing to happen. But it does all too often. I would urge, everybody to take the survey, not for any competitive gain that the executives in a whatever division may get, but to be extremely honest in your answers. If there's an issue or a problem with something, they can't fix it if they don't know about it. And the more folks that take the survey, that let them know their potential issues with training, with equipment, with whatever, you know, the better the results are, the more the results are, the better the results are. The louder the voice is. And that way we can discuss it and try and, you know, have a stronger voice in trying to fix things. You know, one of the things that we've talked about for years, you know, we had it pre-pandemic, and then you had the pandemic, and now post-pandemic, is I'm a huge believer in in-person training. I think that for the most part, you're doing training remotely, especially with newer employees. You're doing them an absolute disservice. I think that when you train together, and the statistics that we have for the IRS have shown this, they are more effective and learn better. So I think that there are things that, you know, we can learn from taking these surveys to try and advance the service and make our case for some things like that. So I would urge everyone, as National NTU has done, to take the survey, be extremely honest. If things are great in a certain area, let them know. If you have a great supervisor, let them know. If you've got issues with your supervisor and they're not performing the work, not mentoring you as they should, you know, not as responsive as they should be, let them know that as well. Because we can't pinpoint things, we can't fix things if we don't know about it. If a certain department or division is getting a, you know, have a lot of people with issues with their frontline or secondary managers, you know, we need to know and take a look at this and figure out what needs to happen. So please take it and be as honest as you can about it.
Okay, our last issue here today is about the remote pilot. Now, the remote pilot is basically an experiment to allow employees to work at home virtually all the time. You might come in occasionally, but basically you are, your post of duty will be your home, which is a new concept. There is a pilot program for that. The it runs for a certain period of time that's predetermined before the pilot starts. That pilot program is running, the time is running out on it. Explain where we go from here and what that may mean for this whole program.
Yeah, this is one of those things that IRS and NTU especially was very much pushing. Especially since the pandemic, why do we have to have people come into the offices twice a pay period? Let's do a remote pilot. Let's see what we can do. Actually, we wanted to do remote period. IRS suggested a pilot. A certain number of candidates could be in it. And they decided to extend that pilot for another 6 months, which is great news. Now, to the surprise that nobody from National NTU on down, including myself, shockingly, they're not going to be able to add more people to the pilot right now. Huh, who'd have thunk it? Because there's been a great deal of interest in this particular pilot. More people want to be on it because they think that they can show their effectiveness in not having to come to the office, not having that twice a pay period commute, and still show the good work that they're doing. The good friend of the podcast, Lori McCann, from Chapter 10, is one of the national negotiators on this. And she's been pushing, I know, very hard to expand this. But at this point, they are not interested in doing that. They want to still gather more data. Now, do I think that they have enough data to figure out whether it's successful or not? Absolutely. But at this point, the IRS has chosen not to enlarge it, not to expand the pilot or even roll it out, but they still want to study it some more.
Yeah, I think there's politics involved here too, because a lot of agencies are being taken to task by certain members of Congress who think that people working at home are goofing off, which is not the case, and the data does not show that to any great extent. So, yes, we'll be watching this very carefully. And, yes, I know you've had plenty of volunteers to be a part of this pilot. There are only a limited number of people allowed to do that. And at least for 6 months more, the people in the pilot will continue to do that. And we'll see maybe if the political winds blow differently in 6 months, perhaps we can take a more sober look at setting up your home as opposed to duty. Okay, Duncan, time for your final comment.
Well, my final comment came to me when I noticed the shirt that you're wearing. The month of May, you know, we're starting the month of May, and India's got so much sports stuff going on. The start of the festivities at the 500. The start of the WNBA season, where we've got, you know, now the first round, our number one pick, Caitlin Clark. Everybody's excited to see that. You've got a great minor league baseball team, the Indians, and a fabulous facility down in Victory Field starting out. The Pacers just made the second round of the playoffs. The Colts are, getting ready to start absorbing their new folks, the rookies that they drafted, the undrafted ones, into camp, a mini camp to start assimilating them. So you're seeing an awful lot of great sports activities happening in the central Indiana area, and I think it's just awesome.
Yeah, you know, Duncan, it's interesting. A couple of things. Number one, a lot of economic development people that I've been reading about lately did mention that Indianapolis has put this huge emphasis on sports. And, you know, whether or not it has paid off overall is something that economists can argue about. But certainly for sports fans, it's a great place to live. The other thing is, as you mentioned, as we record this, the Pacers have just gone through the first round of the playoffs for the first time in many years. They're going to play the New York Knicks in the next series. Well, somebody came up with the scheduling and said it's possible that the Pacers would play a home game in the playoffs the same day that the Fever with Caitlin Clark was supposed to have their home opener. So something's got to give on that. We assume the schedulers will figure something out, because I think that first home game of the Fever with Caitlin Clark has kind of been circled on a lot of calendars. So we'll have to see how that conflict has worked out. I just want to tell an interesting story. I think most of us, whatever jobs we have when we get further into life, often our first jobs are in restaurants or retail stores, that sort of thing. That was true with me. I worked in a big box department store, big box discount store, one of my first jobs in high school. Well, employees who worked at a Target store just recently, just the other day, in Columbus, Ohio, made a pretty startling discovery when they opened up the store. They found a 12-year-old boy had been spending the night in the store. So whoever closed the night before, either he was very good at hiding from them, or they didn't check carefully enough. It turns out he had been reported missing by his parents, and the police say, well, it was a case of a runaway. He was just running away from home. But pretty shocking discovery to make if you're working at a retail store and find a 12-year-old boy has just spent the night in your store. Duncan Jouse, thank you so much for once again joining us, and we thank you all for watching and listening. You have given some of your valuable time to our podcast, and we do appreciate that. Our podcast has been going for quite a while now, and we, if all goes well, we'll keep it going and be back in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, please be safe and be kind.